Please, let's give him a big round of applause as we welcome him on to the program. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Rob. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year.
Thank you, and the same to you, sir.
Goodness gracious. Started a new year and almost a week into it. It go by quick.
That's right. That's right. And what's your saying again? I can never remember it.
I can't remember all my sayings.
Days go by slow, but years fly by, something like that.
Yeah. Days go by slow, but years go by fast. Yeah.
That's right.
Of course, I'll tell you what, this year days are going by fast. We're heading on into it, and we've had any kind of weather you'd like pretty much already in the last couple of weeks anyway. At the end of 2022, going into 2023, whatever weather you want, we've had it. So unless you like 85 and 90 degrees, we haven't had that. We've been in the 70s and we've been in the single digits. So, and we've had rain, but we're in pretty good shape, I think, right now, rain-wise. And temperature has been beautiful this week. And it's beginning to, we were talking about before we went on the air, it's beginning to be more seasonal now. And this is good. You don't want to, things to open up and wake up too early if we continue having those 70 degree days. In fact, I was at my mom's sometime over Christmas, and somewhere for forsythia were actually beginning to show color. I was like, goodness gracious, that's way too early in late December for forsythia to be blooming. But you have these warm days, and some of those plants that have a low chilling hour requirement, they really, they're ready to go. And as soon as we get some warm days in here, they will definitely open up, and it will be spring here before we know it.
Well, you know, Johnny, I was thinking about that just a few days ago about the chilling hours. So for a lot of the different plants and trees, do you think that maybe the chilling hours have been met already?
Yeah, some of the lower requirements, you know, the chilling hours are hours that the plant gets between 32 and 45 degrees. That's the range for chilling hours. So, you know, if they don't require that many, or if they're in the 300, 400 range, I'm sure we've already had that many hours, and some of them even have less than that. Your fruiting trees, in fact, with peaches in particular, speaking to peaches in particular, you always want to get the highest chilling hours that you can with peaches, because even the highest is still going to be below what we normally get. But if you have a peach that, you know, has 700 chilling hour requirement, it's going to bloom pretty early. You're gonna risk the chance of it blooming early. So you want, you know, 900 or 8,000 chilling hours on those, if you can, you know, find varieties that have that. I think, should look that up. Carolina, I think it's Carolina Gold. There's another one that has pretty high chilling hours, and that they do well, you know, normally, because they don't bloom in February, and then we get a cold snap that'll zap those blooms. But, and most of the apples are going to bloom later. Most of them require a little bit longer chilling hours. Figs don't actually require a lot of chilling hours. Most of them are fairly low, but they seem to do okay. They may flush out a little early, in the season and get burned sometime. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how soon that they will be opening. And there's the flowering apricot, the Prunus mume, and I expect it will be blooming, any time now. It's blooming in January. So it'll be one of the first ones to bloom. I noticed with the cold weather, Camellia japonicas, which are the camellias that bloom in the spring, early spring, late winter, early spring. In fact, we had some blooming back before Christmas at the house. But those really took a hit with the cold weather. They dropped their buds, because they just got too cold. They had gotten to the point, you know, the calyx, which is the protecting part of the bud, if it's tight enough, it'll protect that flower bud and it doesn't hurt it. But if it's opened up just a little bit further than what that calyx can protect it, you might lose some of those camellias. If you did lose some in that freeze, you know, there's really nothing you can do about it. Keep them cleaned up. You don't want, even though with the temperatures we usually have this time of year, disease isn't a huge problem because the temperatures aren't conducive for disease to grow. Although with the warmer temperatures we had last week, or earlier this week, we could possibly have some, but with the cooling back down, that's not usually an issue, but keeping any of the buds that might drop off, fall off, keeping them picked up, that'll help control any diseases that might, start popping up. Botrytis is the one that comes to mind that would be possibly an issue on decaying, buds like that, but. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, winter in North Carolina, you know, we're back and forth, and I've heard the beekeepers, some of the beekeepers said that, you know, they wish it would get cold and stay cold so the bees would stay in the hives, because this time of year, I mean, you know, bees get out and start foraging, and there's nothing there to forage on, you know, they're losing energy, but they're not bringing any nectar or pollen back to the hive this time of year. So it's really better if they would just stay in there. But they, you know, it gets in the 50s, you know, 55, 60 degrees. Those bees, they're not going to stay in the hive. They're going to go out and look for something. And, you know, another, 3 weeks from 1st to February will be, probably some maples, some of the red maples that start blooming fairly early. So, there'll be something out there for them on warm days. Not too much longer. In January, sort of our, a month that not much is going to be blooming for them, but, not too much longer. We'll be getting some blooms out there for those bees, and they'll find them and be able to bring back some nectar and get the spring flow started. It's usually a little bit later on in April or so, whenever the poplars start blooming, which is usually later on. That's really starts the honey flow for the bees. It's, you know, it's that, like I said, this winter in North Carolina, January in North Carolina, we'll have up and down temperatures. And, you know, I don't know how cold did y'all get through Christmas?
You know, Johnny, I'm thinking we've got Dan to somewhere. I don't remember exactly, but somewhere maybe around 13, 14 degrees, and I may be off a little bit, but, you know, after it gets down below, you know, 25 or so, a few degrees colder, it doesn't really seem to make a lot of difference unless the wind is blowing, you know?
Yeah, the wind is not the biggest difference.
But it was definitely plenty cold and then some. Yeah.
I've heard 7 degrees. I've heard we had
well, and it may have been. And if I had a few minutes, I could probably look back through the Raleigh Regional Airport's at Person County's readings and figure out it. And it probably was in the single digits, but just off the top of my head, I don't remember exactly. But Johnny, I know. Before the show, we were talking about a few things that you wanted to, you know, address on the program, and bees wasn't one of them, but I got this question. All right, you were saying that the beekeepers are kind of saying it'd be nice if it stayed cold, and that way maybe the bees would stay in the hives, that they're just kind of out foraging and just using up energy and not finding anything, you know, nectar or anything like that. Now, so what does that cause when the bee goes back to the hive? They eat stored up honey, you know, for nourishment?
That's correct. Yeah, they're burning energy, so they have to, when they come back, they're gonna be more likely to eat more honey that they have stored there for the winter time. And it doesn't really get too cold here for the bees in the winter time. It's all about how much honey they have, how much store they have in there so they don't starve to death through the winter time. So that's the key for the bees. And if they, you know, the warmer temperatures cause them to get out and burn energy, and then they're going to, you know, replace that energy when they get back to the hive by eating some of the reserves. So that's, you know, it's just a concern. I mean, most beekeepers are going to keep an eye on their hives. You know, they sort of check the weight of the hives and make sure they still have plenty of reserves. And if they don't, they can put a feeder on it and get them some emergency food there to get them through the wintertime.
And now you said they would check the weight of the hives?
Yeah, usually you just sort of pick the hive up. You want to have a good feel of how heavy a full, it depends on whether you have a single hive body or double hive body. Some people run double hive bodies. And if you have to have a pretty good feel of how much it weighs when it is full and when it's empty. So you can gauge how much honey is in them. I've had, one gentleman tell me, I think he's used a suitcase, scale, you know, where you can just hook it onto the handle of the hive and lift it up, and it'll give you a reading, you know, as far as how heavy it is. And he can judge that, you know, through the, feeding as the season goes on. But you know, you just have to be careful even with that, because you don't want to open them up, you know, when it's real cold. So you have to plan, you know, you have to plan all this according to the weather of opening the hives. You definitely don't want to open them up. In fact, you don't want to open them up if it's not, you know, above 50 at the minimum, and preferably, you know, mid 50s to even 60 to open them up, so you don't expose them to that much cold air. But yeah, you just lift the hive up and sort of judge how much honey's in there.
That's something, Johnny. That's just one more thing, to prove that beekeeping, it's like anything else. It's a lot more to it than one may believe. And, you know, in the perfect world, you know, you go to the hives and harvest the honey and all is well, but you have to pay a lot of attention and keep a check on them. And appreciate you sharing that information. Johnny, I know you got a lot that you want to get on air today. You had mentioned something about the Master Gardeners program and some other programs that's going to be coming up in the future. So if you want to shine a little bit of information our way, that would be greatly appreciated.
Okay. Well, I've mentioned several times about the Master Gardener training, and it's getting closer and closer. I think last time we talked about it was last year, and here we are in the year that it's actually going to occur in. So February 9th is when the training begins. The training will be through the middle of May, every Thursday. It'll be a every Thursday class from 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. So 3-hour class every Thursday, starting February 9th. And, there is a $150 fee for this class, but it's, I think you get a lot of information for the amount of, money you put into it. You do get a book, a hard copy book of the, extension, Master Gardener, Extension Gardener Handbook from NC State. And it's a good course. It's the training part. It's at least 40 hours of training. And then you do some volunteer and educational hours throughout the year. And then you become a certified Master Gardener. And then just continue your volunteer and educational hours from each year after that. But it's, you know, looking forward to it. We are going to have a good class. I've got several people already, applications sent in and registered for this. So we're looking forward to having a good class starting in February. I think I mentioned before doing some collaboration for the first time with, Vance and Warren counties. Paul McKenzie's Master Gardener training is going to going to be with us. And the two classes will be together by Zoom, but the individual classes, so we all the whole class that we will meet will be face to face, and it's at the Berea Volunteer Fire Department, right there in downtown Berea. And so it's, you can't miss it. It's right across from the store, there on 158. And, it's, looking forward to it. It's going to be a good program. So if anybody's interested in registering, you still time to register, for this. So give me a call or email me and we'll get you registered and send you an application. I do have an application to fill out. Just to get some information about where you are and where you stand as far as your horticulture experiences and knowledge. So, but you don't have to have any to have the class. Yeah, I had one individual that she was concerned that she didn't know enough about horticulture to take the class. But you don't. I mean, they're all levels of horticulture experience in the class. So, and in the Extension Master Gardener program. So. It's a training. You're always learning new things about horticultures. Looking forward to that. January 26th, we will have a pollinator talk. Let's learn about pollinators as we wait for spring talk at the Berea Library. So the Master Gardener program is going to be at the Berea Volunteer Fire Department. This is going to be at the Berea Branch Library. Right there beside each other. They're not too far apart. So, looking forward to that. It's going to be the January 26th at 5:30 p.m. So it's an evening, class that we're going to talk about pollinators. So looking forward to having people join us at the Berea Library at 5:30 on January 26th. That address is 1211 U.S. 158, U.S. Highway 158. And it's actually an Oxford address, but it's right there in Berea. So got those coming up. Then we have several production meetings coming up as far as crop production meetings. And if you have any questions on any of the production meetings, please give us a call. The first one coming up next week is January 10th is the tobacco production meeting and gap training. And that's over in Yanceyville. It starts at 9 o'clock. The meeting starts at 9 o'clock. If you want, doors will open at 8:30 and they will have some breakfast there for that. Anybody that needs pesticide credits, there will be N, O, V, and X pesticide credits provided at this particular production meeting. So, and then we have hemp production meetings and grain production meetings and as well. So a corn meeting. And I think there's another tobacco meeting on January 25th over in Lewisburg. So if you have any questions on any of the production meetings, Michaela, I think, has sent some flyers out and sent some mailings out about these. But if you have any questions on them or you need to register for them, please call the person or Granville County office and extension office, and we'll get you registered for those. And then pesticide courses that are coming up. The V training for private applicators, the V trainings, we'll have one on the second, February 2nd at 6 p.m. And that will be at the Granville County Extension Office, the Person County Extension Office, the Warren County Extension Office on February 2nd. So any of those locations you can go to. And get those. You have two. This will provide you with two V credits, and then we'll have another one on February 8th. So the next week following the second, February 2nd. So this February 2nd time is 6 p.m. The February 8th time is 8:30 a.m. So we have that one in the morning on February 8th, and it will also be available at the Granville County Extension Office, the Person County Extension Office, Warren County, and then the Bass County Regional Farmers Market. So we'll have those available so you can go face-to-face at any of those locations and get your V credit. So for private applicators, you need at least two V credits every 3 years. So you want to make sure you go and get those if you need those. And then if you need X credit for private applicators, we'll have one training on February 14th. And there's something else going on February 14th.
What is that?
Yeah, well, it's something. But that's
and,
not
and, thing, and that's yeah. on a Tuesday. That's what it is. That is.
That's a Tuesday. Yeah. 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 So Tuesday, yeah. Second Tuesday in February.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, that it's Valentine's Day, but we're not going to mess up with Valentine plans. That's at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. So you'll still be able to make the training and still celebrate Valentine's after that. So at 1 p.m. That February 14th, this one we'll have. It's actually a multi-credit training. But if you're a private applicator and need X, that's the class you want to come to get your X. But it also will be for A, D, G, H, L, N, O, and P, along with X. So it's a multi, I always call that the alphabet, training. So if you have a license and need training, that's probably the one you'll go to. It's a couple of letters we don't have in there, a couple of certifications that we don't have, listed, but it covers a good portion of them. So that's some of the, you know, the trainings coming up. And if you have any questions, if you didn't catch the date or time or anything, just feel free always to call the extension offices, in Granville or Person counties, and we'll be glad to, let you know when those dates and times are. And if you question, whether you need to come, whether your license is expiring this year, or whether you need credits. If your license is expiring, you may be okay. You may have all the credits you need and not have to come to anything, but don't let your license expire. Please, call us and let us check and make sure you're in good shape if you have any question at all about your license status, on your hours. And, please feel free to give us a call about that. And then, on January 26th, we will have the Person County Cattlemen's Association. We'll have their meeting here at the Person County Cooperative Extension Center. And the subject at that meeting will be presented by Dr. Tom Van Dyke, North Carolina Cooperative Extension beef veterinarian, and we'll be discussing certain antibiotics, over-the-counter antibiotics, that are going to be changing as far as their availability. Some of these over-the-counter antibiotics may not be available over-the-counter anymore, starting this June. So, this will be a good meeting to come to, very informative. And, anybody that has, if beef or any type of livestock, would benefit from coming to this in order to hear Dr. Van Dyke speak about these antibiotics that may not be available to you over the counter anymore. And just plans you need to make in order to be able to vaccinate your livestock in the future. So, that's again, January 26th. And that meeting starts at 6:30. 6:30 at the Person County office building in the auditorium there. So I think that's a different time than they usually meet. So, 6:30 is when they're going to meet on January 26th. And please call and register for that, because that they do provide a meal at that meeting. So please call to register so they can get, some pretty firm numbers on the meal for that date. So just go give Person County Cooperative Extension Office a call, and we'll get you registered for coming to that meeting. And if you can do that by January 3rd, so the meeting's on January 26th, you can call by January 23rd to register. That'll help. Again, it winds up the meal, just helps with the meal count. So we won't, don't order too many meals, but yet you have one here when you get here. So just please call by January 23rd to register and let us know if you're coming to them. So that's some things we got coming up this month and next month. Some of the pesticide trainings will go into February, and you know, should get some letters on a lot of these things. But if you have any questions about any programming coming up and, you know, that's going on with Extension, please feel free to call either the Granville County office at 919-603-1350 or the Person County office at 336-599-1195. And we'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have about any of these.
All right, we're going to take a break and get a message on for JT Allison and keep Jody and Kim Allison in mind the next time you're in need of gravel. We'll be back right after this message.
Do you have those annoying potholes in your driveway? Need some driveway regrading? Or maybe you just need some new gravel? Give JT Allison a call. Jody has been in business for over 25 years, specializing in driveway grading and hauling gravel. He also does all types of small tractor work and some backhoe and bush hogging work. Jody strives to do a top-notch job and to make sure that you, the customer, is always happy. Whether it's a small job or a big job, we have multiple truck sizes to accommodate your needs. Here at JT Allison, we appreciate your business. Check us out on Facebook at JT Allison LLC or give us a call at 336-583-6250. Jody and Kim Allison. We are rocking the county one load at a time.
Granville Auction Company will be having their... We'll get that message on for Granville Auction Company coming up in just a little bit. Johnny Coley is our guest. And Johnny, continuing on just talking about different things that are going on and also something else. You know, a lot of people, you know, on these nice days may be out and about in the yard, looking around to see what this needs to be done and what attention this needs to be given. But what I wanted to ask, what about as far as pruning? It's still a little bit early to start pruning, correct?
Well, depends on what you're pruning, Rob. There's lots of things you can prune now. When plants are dormant, it's a good time. You don't have to worry about disease and insects this time of year, as much as you will when plants are growing, and the temperatures are warmer. So, you know, it's a good time. If you're going to do any big cuts, you know, I'm saying big cuts, you know, 2, 3, 4 inches or bigger, then this is a good time to do that, so those plants can heal and not be as susceptible to the insects and diseases as the season goes on. They'll go ahead and compartmentalize themselves so that insect or disease can't get into the plant quite as easily. So it's, you know, it's a good time to do larger cuts on a tree, that type of pruning. Go ahead and do that. Just the main thing I warn against this time of year with pruning, and I've mentioned it several times in the show, is just knowing when your plant is going to bloom. If it's an early spring bloomer, in Forsythia earlier, it's a very early spring bloomer. You don't want to prune those too hard this time of year. You can do some, you know, some trim up on it, but the best time to prune those are right after they finish blooming. And that goes for any plant that's going to bloom on last year's growth. So it blooms on what they call old growth, which is the new growth that will be growing this spring. So, you know, the key to pruning this time of year is knowing when your plants are going to bloom. Now, saying that, this is a good time to rejuvenate, to do any rejuvenation pruning that you might need to do. And you might need to do that on an azalea that's going to bloom in the spring. And what you're doing there is just sacrificing your blooms for this spring. So, you know, knowing that it's going to bloom and you're making the conscious decision that you're going to go without those blooms this year in order to cut that plant back And I said rejuvenation pruning is when you cut a plant back fairly hard. You know, you cut it back. Usually, you know, you don't want to cut a plant back any more than a third. Then the rejuvenation pruning, a lot of times you'll cut it back a half or more. And when you're doing that, it's a pretty severe cut because, you know, I've said before, whenever you make a pruning cut, it's an injury to the plant. So if you can do it this time of year when it's dormant, it's less stressful. It's less stressful. It's a better for the plant to do any major pruning this time of year. So, you know, January, you know, it's good. You know, going into February, it's a good time to prune your fruit plants, your fruiting plants, blueberries, apples, grapes, anything that you're gonna of your fruiting plants, you'll prune, you know, late January, February, on into the first part of March. You don't want to go too far into March with those. But, yeah, like I said, the key to pruning in a dormant season like this is knowing when your plants are gonna bloom and know that you might cut your blooms off. So, you know, it is a good time to prune. It's and any big cuts that you need to make on a tree or something to get it back in shape, now's definitely a time to do that. I wouldn't do it, Rob. I wouldn't do it right before, like just before we had that real cold snap. I would not prune right before that. You want to give the plant, you know, a week or so. If they're forecasting, you know, that cold of temperatures in a long range forecast, and I'm saying a 7 to 10 day forecast, and realizing that they don't always hit those forecasts. They're much better at postcasting than they are forecasting. But they, you know, if they're calling for a drastic cool down, then you probably want to wait until after that cool spell goes past to do any major pruning. So that is one caveat to the pruning that you want to keep in mind when you're doing that.
Well, now, Johnny, I just had somebody to send me a message. So I'm going to put you up under the hot spotlight.
All right.
Okay. All righty. Are you ready for this?
I don't know. Let's see. We'll find out.
All right. I've got this guy that I talk with from time to time. He's a faithful listener of the program. And I don't know, he mentioned to me within the last couple of years that he has taken an interest in learning how to make, or process, I should say, maple syrup. And he says that you can go out and tap the maple trees, collect the syrup, and then cook it down. Any idea when is the time to start tapping the maple trees? In a sense, I guess maybe when will the sap start rising, so to speak? Any idea?
Rob, you caught me on that one. Not for any state. I shouldn't say not for North Carolina, but I don't even know for Vermont. So that's where they do a lot of maple syrup in the northern states. I do not, but I will try to find out. I've learned to say that many times over the last 5 years. I don't know the answer, but I'll try to find out. And maybe next time I'm on, we'll have an answer for that. But I never have done that. I don't know of anybody that does harvest that. But that would be interesting. So he does, which maple does he tap?
Johnny, not to give you a short answer, I'm not sure. I have watched programs on TV about him going out and harvesting or collecting, you know, the sap and syrup and cooking it into the, you know, the maple syrup and stuff. And one particular program, I remember the guy was doing it with horses, meaning he had like a sled or something hooked up behind the team of horses, and he would go around and, you know, had the trees tapped with the bucket on them, and he would collect the bucket, pour it into a different bucket, and then hang, you know, the bucket back on the tap of the tree. And I remember some older people talk about, you know, when the sap starts to rise in the trees. Now, I don't know if that means when they start, you know, budding, you know, to bloom and to start the foliage. I really don't know about that, but that's quite interesting.
Yeah, it is. I'm just pulled up, and I need to do a little bit more research. It's saying here mid-February to mid-March, but I'm not sure that's North Carolina. That probably is another area. But let me check on that and get back with you. We'll circle back around to that one.
That sounds like a plan. All right, look, let's get a word on for Granville Auction Company. Perry Enlow and Landon Tate, they're the young men behind Granville Auction Company. Those guys are in their early 20s, and both of them work a full-time job. Perry is a barber in Butner, and Landon works for Woodman of the World. But these young men, they are getting started in the auction business. They've been doing it a few years, and just nice guys. And they are having their winter consignment auction tomorrow in Oxford. It's an Oxford address, but it's on Gucci's Mill Road in the Berea community. And you've mentioned the Berea Library, Berea Fire Department on the program. And it's not very far from there. Let's get a message on from them, and we'll be back right after this. Granville Auction Company will be having their annual winter consignment auction sale Saturday, January 7th at 5091 Gucci's Mill Road in Oxford. The auction will start at 9:30 a.m. They've got a wide variety of items such as tractors, trucks, farm equipment, trailers, buck barns, and much more. To view their full auction listing, go to gravelauction.com. If you're unable to make it to the auction on Saturday, you can bid online through their website, gravelauction.com. Again, that's Saturday, January 7th at 5091 Gucci's Mill Road in Oxford. The auction starts at 9:30 a.m. If you have any questions or would like to add items to the auction, call Perry at 919-747-1219. That's 919-747-1219. NCAFL number 10414. Johnny Coley is our guest. We appreciate Johnny's information here on the Gardener's Corner program, and we appreciate the support of Granville Auction Company and JT Allison, Jody and Kim rocking the county one load at a time. And in a little bit, we'll get a message on for Loftus and Son Land Services. And anyway, Johnny, let's see here. On my list of things you wanted to talk about, I think we've covered quite a few of them. But now, here it is, first part of January. The $4 fee for the soil samples is still in effect. But, you know, for those folks that want to plant an early garden, and, of course, it's still plenty of time, if they have not done soil samples, it'd be a opportune time over the next month or so to get that soil sample collected and turned in. And at $4 a sample, I mean, if you've got 100 samples, that's a lot of money. But it's a good investment, to say the least.
It is. It is. It's you know, it's almost like an insurance policy. You know, I have people all the time ask me how much lime do they need to put down in the garden. And without a soil test, there's really no way to know that. I mean, you can hedge your bets with the fertilizer, but with the lime, there's just no way to know. So you want to get those soil samples. And Rob, they've actually come down. Before we went on there, I just went on to check to see what the turnaround time is for those samples. And it's 6 weeks now. It was up to, well, it may have been higher than 8, but I think last week it was 8 weeks. So they really dropped that turnaround time, pretty rapidly. So, it's manageable. 6 weeks from now, you're looking at what, the middle or the end of February. So, getting it back by then, plenty of time to get your garden fertilized for the spring. You know, as far as liming goes, your lime is not gonna be your pH is not gonna be affected by the lime you put down, this spring so much, because it takes a while for the lime to affect the soil pH. But you could go ahead and get it down. Sooner the better on that. So, it is. And if you're only doing, like you said, if you're only doing a garden spot, or if you're only doing the backyard and the front yard, two or three, that $4 a sample is a very reasonable price and very much worth the cost. If you do want to wait till it's free, it does become free April 1st. And the turnaround times then were probably a little bit shorter, but usually on April 1st, they'll jump up for a couple of weeks there before they level off. And get them turned around real quick. But, go ahead and get those in. I'll get your soil samples in, and we'll, if you have any issues with reading your soil samples, if you've already sent your sample in, and you get it back and you don't know exactly how to interpret those numbers on the results, please contact, the extension office, and we'll be glad to walk you through the steps that you need to take in order to get the proper fertilization down for your area and the correct lime rate that you need to put down. But yeah, it's always good to do that soil sample prior to gardening. You can do some guesses. I heard one of the specialists say, rule of thumbs are for amateurs, so you want to you don't want to go by the rule of thumb on a lot of things. You want to make sure you put down the appropriate amount of fertilizer and lime.
Right. That's right. I know what you mean. I sure do. Johnny, while we got a minute, let me get this commercial on for Loftus and Sons Land Services, and we'll be back right after this. James Shorty Loftus and Jason Loftus are proud to announce that they are the owners and operators of Loftus and Son Land Services, LLC. Call James Shorty Loftus at 336-592-6381 or call Jason Loftus at 919-282-4780 for all of your grading, landscaping, forestry, mulching, field edging, cleanup, driveways, and gravel work. That's Loftus and Sons Land Services, LLC. Family-owned land services with over 40 years experience spanning 3 generations. Again, you can call James Shorty Loftus at 336-592-6381 or Jason Loftus at 919-282-4780. Be sure to check out that Facebook page, Loftus and Sons Land Services, LLC. We appreciate their support, as well as all of our other fine supporting sponsors here on the Gardener's Corner program. Johnny Coley is our guest. Johnny, we've got about maybe 3 minutes left on the program today. Something I hope we don't need, you had kind of have touched on it one time before, but should we have any snow and or ice, and people put out ice melt, they need to kind of be careful, because sometimes that ice melt can cause problems with plants. Is that right?
Anytime you're putting out a product like that. You just want to put it where you need it. You don't know just for the cost of the product. And also for any adverse effects it might have on the plant. You can get salt buildup, you know, around the plant. That's not good. Most plants are not going to tolerate that, and definitely don't want to get it on the plants, if you can help it. If you do happen to get it in an area that, you know, you didn't want to, get it in, you know, watering it and leaching that product, you know, is the best thing to do. Try to leach it through the soil. So get it through as quickly as possible. But yeah, just be careful. And that's really, Rob, I was talking to, somebody in the last week or so when we were talking about fertilizer. Fertilizers have salt in them as well, but they also, you don't want to, when you're fertilizing, especially your yard, if you're in a city setting and you have a curbing, you don't want to get that fertilizer thrown out into the street or onto the sidewalk, because that's just going to run right off into the storm drains and can really affect the fertilizer levels in the source of the, wherever the storm drain's going. So, you know, just be careful whenever you're spreading, whether it's a granular herbicide or, ice melt type product or fertilizer, and don't get it on the hard surfaces. I mean, you're not gonna make that sidewalk grow any bigger by putting fertilizer on it. So you might as well just, you know, and it costs too. It's gonna cost extra money. So try to get it where, you know, you're spreading the fertilizer on the area that the fertilizer needs it, and you're putting the ice melt on the area that the ice melt is gonna do good. So, you know, just be careful with those types of products when you're using them. And don't use any more than you need to, and put them where they need to go, so you don't have the runoff into storm drain areas, or just run off into a stream or a pond or wherever it might go.
So in a sense, put out a minimal amount and not an excessive amount. After you put out some, if it's not working and covering the area that you would like for it to, you can go back and add a little bit more, but just don't use it like it's free, more or less, correct?
Exactly.
All right. Well, Johnny, any parting remarks, as we have given out pretty much of all the time that we have on the program today, but if you got any closing remarks?
Well, just still, you know, spring is right around the corner. If you haven't ordered your seeds yet, you know, start looking through those seed magazines and seed catalogs, and start picking out your seeds, and get it. So just to make sure you get the seeds that you want, when you get ready to plant your garden or your flowers or whatever, you know, this is a good time of year to look through those and, get those seeds ordered, because February is coming, and start planting some garden stuff in February. So.
Time is marching on, to say the least.
It is.
Well, Johnny, appreciate everything. Hope you have a wonderful and safe afternoon and the weekend. And a special thanks to all of our fine supporting sponsors, JT Allison, Granville Auction Company, and Loftus and Sons Land Services.
WKRX, rated number one for Person County listeners. WKRX, my hometown station.